BBC News with Sue Montgomery. The authorities in Nepal say more than 3,500 people are now known to have died in Saturday's catastrophic earthquake. But as rescuers reach the more remote areas, it's feared the figure could rise further. With more aftershocks, many frightened residents of the capital opted to spend Sunday night in vast tented settlements. Sanjay Majumdar is in Kathmandu.
Even in the smarter neighborhoods, there are people who set out little carpets or brought their mattresses out in front of their homes and have been staying there through the day, through the night. If you walk into the market areas, you can see people sitting on the curb or people are just walking around. It looks as if almost nobody in the city is indoors at any given moment. Now, what the authorities are getting very concerned about is the lack of clean drinking water. In a couple of camps that I visited, I've seen water tankers drive up and long queues of people waiting patiently to fill up little jerry cans of water. And the government has asked the international community to try and send water along with tents at the earliest.
People in hundreds of remote hillside communities are thought to have been left homeless, but help is still to reach them. The aid agency Plan Asia has managed to go into some of these communities. Chandra Kayasta, the program unit manager, is in Baglung, 270 kilometres west of Kathmandu. He told the BBC the Red Cross has been providing accommodation and medical supplies.
They are sending some tent and some medicine as well, because they are staying outside of their home and they are preparing to provide them temporary shelter. The main problem of this area is damage of their houses and school building. And some of the areas is very remote. It takes more than 3 hours, 4 hours on walking. There is no road facilities even before disaster also, because it lies in the western hill of Nepal.
Improving weather has allowed helicopters to make the first rescue missions for the hundreds of climbers stranded at Everest Base Camp as they were preparing to attempt the summit. The Australian Prime Minister Tony Abbott says he's written to the Indonesian President Joko Widodo asking for mercy for two Australians due to be executed in the next few days. Andrew Chan and Mayuran Sukumaran have been informed by the Indonesian authorities that they could face the firing squad as early as Tuesday. From Sydney, John Donison.
The two Australians were convicted in 2006 of leading a gang trying to smuggle 8 kilos of heroin out of Indonesia. They're among 8 foreigners, including nationals from Brazil, Nigeria and the Philippines, who were officially informed over the weekend that they will be executed imminently. On Sunday, the Australians were allowed a visit from their brothers, who also pleaded for their relatives to be spared.
World News from the BBC. Opposition activists in Burundi have taken to the streets for a second day to protest against President Pierre Nkurunziza's decision to run for a third term in office. Police broke up the demonstrations. Several protesters were shot dead on Sunday. The United Nations says more than 15,000 have fled Burundi, fearing violence ahead of elections scheduled for June. A new study has found that two-thirds of the world's population have no access to safe and affordable surgery. The research, published in The Lancet, found that many in low- and middle-income countries are dying from easily treatable conditions. Here's our health reporter, Chulip Mazumdar.
5 billion people can't get proper surgical care, according to this report. Around a quarter of those who do manage to have a procedure are driven into poverty as a result of the expense. International experts spent a year and a half gathering testimony from health officials, hospital staff and patients in more than 100 countries. They say a third of all deaths in 2010 were from conditions that were treatable with surgery. That's more than the number of deaths from HIV/AIDS, TB and malaria combined.
The European Commission President Jean-Claude Juncker and other EU leaders are to hold talks with the President of Ukraine, Petro Poroshenko, in Kiev. Ukraine is expected to call for peacekeepers to enforce a ceasefire with pro-Russian rebels in the east of the country, as well as more international financial support. On Sunday, international monitors reported the heaviest shelling near the key government-held port city of Mariupol since fighting began there in mid-February. Officials in Thailand say they've seized more than 3 tons of ivory, one of the biggest hauls in its history. The illegal ivory, in the form of more than 500 elephant tusks, was hidden in sacks of tea. It originally came from Kenya and was passing through Thailand on the way to Laos. BBC News.